This is your update from Columbia Faith and Values. We're Mid-Missouri's source for religion news, brought to you in partnership with KBIA. I'm Kelly Moore. There's a tiny but active religious group in our community that I'd like to introduce you to. They've got a pretty interesting story. It's a story about a relatively new branch of Christianity, of a guy who stumbled across a religious group on the internet, and of a Roman Catholic priest who left when things got complicated. Ready? Here we go.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever.
It's a chilly Thursday at noon, and there are four of us gathered in a tiny chapel on College Avenue for a midday service. I'm observing as Father John Prenger leads two other people through the liturgy. There are Bible readings, some responses from the Book of Common Prayer, and a short message.
So it really does come down to, do you know who you are and whose you are? Because you belong to Jesus Christ.
When it's time for Holy Communion, they gather around the altar. From one person to the next, they pass a tiny piece of bread and a small chalice of wine. But it's not just the bread and wine. To them, the body and blood of Jesus Christ are present.
Betty, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Amen.
And the blood of Christ, cup of salvation.
Amen.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Amen.
It's one of the most intimate spiritual gatherings I've ever seen. Watching it, I can see hints of different Christian traditions. And that's exactly what it's supposed to look like. This is a hybrid Christian group called the Charismatic Episcopal Church. Just to avoid confusion, let's clear up one thing. Even though Episcopal is in the name, this isn't an Episcopalian church. Here, the word Episcopal is simply referring to the hierarchy of bishops. Here's a quick history lesson. Back in the late 1980s and early 1990s, clergy from several different denominations, Pentecostals, Baptists, Anglicans, Lutherans, and others, wanted a church that blended different Christian traditions. They wanted to include sacraments, or outward signs of God's inner work. They also wanted a liturgy, a certain form of worship. Add to that a heavy emphasis on the Bible and preaching the gospel, plus an emphasis on the influence of the Holy Spirit, and you've got the mix. Sacramental, evangelical, and charismatic. After a lot of studying and prayer, that's what they created. In San Clemente, California, in June of 1992, the Charismatic Episcopal Church was born. The group has grown to about 2,000 churches throughout the world. There are two in Missouri, including the one right here in Columbia. At its largest, there was a time when up to 35 people would come to worship. Now, at the weekend service, there are usually about 10 people. On weekdays, it's typically just a few, like the time that I went. Jim Jantz is one of the regulars. He was raised Southern Baptist and later joined an Episcopal church. From there, he found the Charismatic Episcopal Church.
It's a funny story. I was teaching college English at the penitentiary in Boonville, and one of my students asked for information on hieroglyphics. And so I was searching the web looking for information on hieroglyphics, and I found this website about the Coptic Church.
The Coptic Church was established in Egypt around 43 AD, and it was founded by St. Mark. Jim had gone to a church called St. Mark's in Arkansas, so the Mark part caught his interest.
So I was like, oh, I'm interested in seeing what the Coptic Church is about, and I went from link to link to link and then came across the Charismatic Episcopal Church.
He wondered if there were any in Missouri.
And lo and behold, there was someone in Columbia. So there was John Pringer's phone number. I called him up, and he said, how'd you get my number? And I said, it was on the internet. And he said, I didn't know that.
Father John has an interesting story all his own. From the time he was in fourth grade, he wanted to be a Roman Catholic priest. He grew up, and that's what he became. But then things got complicated. He wanted to get married. And that's something Roman Catholic priests don't do.
I'm glib about it now, but it wasn't glib because it was clear to me that I was called to priesthood, then to marriage. The only thing is I wouldn't let go of marriage. And I began to see a pattern in myself where I would let a woman friend get way too close and then we're very tied emotionally and friendship and that kind of thing. And then push coming to shove, I have to say, well, you know, I can't.
Then, while serving at the St. Thomas More Newman Center here in Columbia, he met Sharon, and they became friends. Father John moved up to Kirksville. Not long after, it just so happened that Sharon got a job up there. She didn't know many other people, so the two of them spent a lot of time together. Things got better and better, and more difficult.
About 92, I knew, this is getting dangerous. What am I going to do? What are we going to do? Should I, shouldn't I?
He talked to the bishop and then took some time for discernment.
God, that was hell on wheels because I was choosing two things.
Priesthood or marriage.
Go into the chapel and
eventually, the call to marriage won. He left the priesthood, and he and Sharon were married in late 1994. They've since had a few children who are now teenagers. For a while, the family was involved at the Newman Center. Although he was no longer a priest, John would help out where he could with certain ministries. Then he got a letter from the bishop saying he needed to stop. It changed everything. He felt like he didn't belong anymore. In the midst of all this, his good friend David Almond, who was also part of the Newman Center, had been telling him about the Charismatic Episcopal Church. David was thinking about joining. John was skeptical.
You can be drawn to him, but I'm not drawn to him.
But after a lot of soul-searching, questioning, and research, plus a poignant spiritual moment, that all changed. And then, in January of 1999...
We swallowed our pride and marched up to the cathedral and entered the church.
He and a few other people then established the first and only Charismatic Episcopal Church in Colombia. It's a little different than most other Charismatic Episcopal churches. It started out as a regular church, and then in 2007, it became a religious order. Basically, that's a subgroup of a religion with certain practices that people make vows to be part of. This group is called the Order of Franciscan Penitents, named for St. Francis of Assisi, who was known for his ministry to the poor.
So technically right now people go, I don't even argue with them. They go, well, how's your church? Is it growing? Well, yeah, but I'm not even trying to grow it. I'm trying to be faithful to a vowed community that wants to get better and better using the pattern of Francis for following Jesus Christ. So we are a religious order.
There are different phases of preparation to go through before making the vows, and not everyone does them. Some people become part of the order, and others simply attend. Betty Hamm attends services regularly, and she's thinking about becoming a vowed Franciscan. She grew up Catholic and was active at the Newman Center, but when John and David left, she followed. I asked her what it was that drew her personally to the Charismatic Episcopal Church.
I just felt like it was a place that I needed to be.
And really? That's the underlying reason that seems to draw most people. Deep down, it seems like the right place for them to be.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's it for this update from Columbia Faith and Values. You can find more stories like this one, along with commentary and interfaith dialogue, every day on ColumbiaFaithandValues.com. I'm Kelly Moore. Thanks for listening.